See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how we get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're
Cinescare. Welcome to the Cinescare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe the Santa Claus Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hi, everybody. I'm your naughty little elf.
And also with us is Catherine Horan. One of these
Hello.
Times I'm going to get that right.
That's all right. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
There you go. There you go.
This Home Alone. I had no idea Catherine had such a like craze over Home Alone.
You know, I'm that generation. I'm about the same age as Macaulay Culkin, so that was like my movie growing up. So.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah. Definitely a favorite of mine at the holiday time.
In our text group, Mark just basically shit all over that movie, even though it's something it's Catherine loves.
It's just not as good. Good as everyone says, it's fun. I've only seen it twice, so I mean,
see,
maybe I need to see it again. I think I saw it when it came out on VHS, and I think I had to watch it one more time, and I was just like, okay. Yeah. I hear Home Alone 2 is better.
Well,
I like them both about the same. No.
This is our Christmas episode, by the way. Speaking it of is. Home Alone, and I think we have gifts. To share, right? Does everybody have theirs?
I believe so.
I hope.
Yeah, from yeah. Guys. And I didn't open them. I did not open them.
Correct.
Get that.
I did not rip and tear.
Very good, Mark. Very good.
I know. Mark. I was really proud of myself.
I did not hit her. I did not.
I did not.
I did not.
Oh, oh hi, Mark.
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
I am an expert, damn it.
Okay, so how do we want to do this, Joe?
I don't know. I'm champing at the bit. I can't wait.
Yeah, let's do it. How about let's – Joe and I
have something here from a K. Horan.
That would be me.
That would be Catherine Horan. So why don't we open from Catherine?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what we got.
Which one's from Catherine?
The one that says it's from K. Horan.
One that says K. Horan.
I don't see a K. Horan.
It would be a.
It would be on
one?
An envelope.
Neither of those. Oh, no. Did you not get it?
No.
Meh. Oh, no. All right.
If
well,
you didn't
the
get
sound...
it, I'll have to resend it to you.
The sound of unwrapping. Oh!
Blame the post office.
It is.
I will.
I will. I will too. We got Catherine.
What is
made
it?
Us cookies. Are these gingerbread or something?
They're gingerbread cookies.
Gingerbread men, and they are destroyed from the post office. Absolutely
yeah,
destroyed.
Yeah, it happens.
No, that's
and a
fitting.
Nice card.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
You're very
yes,
welcome.
Thank you.
Hopefully,
thank
they,
you.
Hopefully they still taste good.
Well, we'll find out during the show because I'm not going to be able to let it sit here for too long. Oh, it's got
I'll
my name
to
on
send
it.
You, I'll have to send you another one, Mark. I've got some leftovers.
It's got my name on it.
It does.
It's Joe.
Yeah. Mine
says. Nice.
Oh, mine says Mark.
Does it?
No.
Or it might say Matt. I.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know.
I don't have the best handwriting.
It's unrecognizable basically.
That's
because
all right. It's just no, trust me, not, it said Matt at one point in time.
It's not from your handwriting. I think it's from it
got
just
squished.
Destroyed. Yeah. So, all right.
Oh, that's so delicious. Is that homemade gingerbread?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's very good.
Did you put molasses in it?
I did.
That's the way to go.
I'll have to send
Joe,
you.
Joe, you're a little
one.
Soft. I'll get you a replacement. Be a little closer to your mic, Joe.
It's delicious.
I can barely hear. There we go. How low do you have your? Are you holding your microphone on your knees?
It's sitting right on the desk. I'm just.
Oh, that's much better.
There you go.
Taller, I guess.
You sound like you're 5 miles away. All right, let's do Mark, Catherine, and I. Let's do Joe's gift.
Which
I'm assuming is this gray one.
Okay, is it the red bubble?
Yes, it's red bubble.
Oh, I don't have a red bubble one. Oh, I do. It just didn't come in a red bubble packaging. It says it on here. Okay.
Oh, that's.
Oh yeah. Okay, red bubble. Got it.
All right, let's do it.
What did we go?
I'm opening it up.
Nostalgia. Ratatouille.
It's Nosferatu.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a lot of words.
Here's the swimming with bow-legged women.
That's fun.
Joe got me this t-shirt. It's got Quint on it from Jaws.
Awesome.
It says, here's
that's
the swimming
awesome.
With bow-legged women. I love it.
What I got, you? Joe. Guys, look.
That's perfect.
That is
Mark.
Joe got
is
Mark.
Dyslexorcist.
Joe got Mark a dyslexorcist t-shirt.
That's
no, I Joe. I got him.
Your mother comes stocks in hell.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious, Joe. I got him something that fits very closely with that. So,
I got really jealous because Matt got a Jaws one, but then this is way better.
Hilarious. Yeah,
way better.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Glad you like it.
Last year, if you recall, Joe and I were the only ones here. And we got each other the exact same t-shirt.
The Birdemic one?
Knowing at all, yeah.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Solar panels.
All right, so go ahead and open up from me. Joe, Mark, you might have two, actually.
Uh-oh, I'm afraid to open this one.
Two?
You should have two gifts.
It's been a busy week. I'll have to check my mail.
A lament configuration.
Yes.
Come on. 30 days to better English book.
There's something else for you too. I don't know if it should be there.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It tells you how to say words.
I got a Nicolas Cage coffee mug.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's got all the different faces of Cage, and it's which Cage are you feeling today?
That's awesome.
I think today I'm feeling bees.
So it's not a bee. So just so you know, it's not a vase. It's a
Thank
vase.
You, Matt.
It's a vase.
You're welcome.
Oh,
this is great.
Yeah, you
have to
also
keep this with me.
Oh, no, it says that your other gift was delivered today, so it should be at the mailbox.
Okay.
You want to go
run
and check?
I haven't been home for a while.
Yeah, you could always run and check while Joe's talking about. Hey, Joe, what movies have you watched recently?
I watched quite a bit. I was a busy bee. So I watched Evil Dead Rise because I don't need a reason to. But then I went to go see Five Nights at Freddy's 2 in the theaters. And I got to say, for somebody who hasn't played the games, it still holds my attention. It's entertaining. There are things, obviously, that I have missed that I probably would have caught more if I had played the video games. There's definitely like some Easter eggs, some inside jokes and whatnot that are certainly present throughout the film. However, they're not as overpowering to take somebody like me out of the story. So I still enjoyed it. I think the only thing that's really holding back that franchise is that PG-13 rating, because the character design is there. The storyline is there. if they could just throw some more blood and gore at the screen, it would be so much better. It could take it to the next level. And because it's a Blumhouse gig, I would hope they fix that soon. But anyway, so Five Nights at Freddy's 2, not bad, worth a watch. Then I went to go see the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, or not 2, but just the remake.
Ooh. I want to see that one.
I hold off if okay. I were you. Oh. It's not great. The Rowan Campbell and Rudy Modine, the acting in this is really pretty bad. There's some gore. I was kind of falling asleep during the...
Oh, no.
Storyline that wasn't great. It didn't hold my interest very well at all. I was kind of looking at my watch through this one, kind of a snore fest. But
that's too bad.
It could have been great, but just really missed the mark. Next, I watched Him, which was I think on Peacock now, and that's the one that. I guess Jordan Peele didn't direct, but had something to do with, or his people did. But anyway, I really had my expectations low for this one because I had seen so many people give it a bad rap. But I got to admit, I really like this one. It's just weird enough. And it's got so much blood and gore. This was like a sleeper for me. I was clapping when it was done. I really liked this. I can't think of a, you know, there's not a whole lot of like, I guess, acting per se. It's that, you know, Tyreek Withers is the main character and, you know, Marlon Wayans is the retired football player. He's the old goat trying to teach the new kid how to make it in football. And the whole thing takes place at his remote training camp in the middle of nowhere. And Tim Heidecker plays his agent, who's just phenomenal in this film. But I really liked it. I couldn't believe how much I did, and I really got to question all the people that didn't like it. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty fun show. It's one I will definitely say that since it's on streaming services, I'm probably going to watch again before the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
Is that again?
Him.
It was Him.
Oh, yeah.
The Marlon Wayans football one. I highly suggest that you guys watch that. It's so bizarre in some spots. And then lastly, I rented Bone Lake. And again, I didn't have huge expectations for it, but it took off and I really, really enjoyed it. Little bit of a twist towards the end. Plenty of gore. Held my interest. Storyline went pretty seamlessly for me. I got some evaluating I have to do in the next 2 weeks, but Him and Bone Lake are pretty close to hovering around into my top 10.
Ooh, okay.
Now, all right, watch that. I will defend these by saying this is my opinion. You know, I'm the guy that I'm in this for the blood and the gore. I not so much being spooked or ghosts or anything like that. So like, whereas I will watch Evil Dead Rise any day of the week. That's just the type of film that I'm looking for. And both of those kind of, you know, pinch that nerve.
Yeah. So, Evil Dead Rise is like your favorite film now.
Pretty close.
As of right now.
Yeah. So yeah, I did a lot of watching over the past 2 weeks.
Nice. Catherine, what have you watched recently?
I've also watched a nice chunk of things. Watched the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. As well as Black Christmas. Yeah. Watched Terror Train.
Ooh.
Let's see, Krampus. and then had some bangers on Svengoolie over the last couple of weeks. We watched Duel and Brides of Dracula.
I love Duel so much.
Right?
It's so good.
It's so good. And then I think a movie I feel like Joe recommended ages and ages ago, King on Screen. Which is a documentary about Stephen King movies.
Finally got around to watching that.
And that was fun. And then finished off Welcome to Derry.
Yeah.
Finale of that.
Yeah, it was good.
Boy, did we.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, what have you watched recently?
Well, I finished Welcome to Derry, and I guess we'll talk about it once Matt's done with his reviews. Maybe we could all just like, tie a bow on it, on that Christmas present that HBO gave us. Cause, oh boy, I finished Stranger Things. Was a fan of it. They need to start killing people. Like Welcome to Derry, they kill the kids. They're not afraid to. Stranger Things, they need to. I mean, they need to start offing people because it's getting a little tiring. But I am enjoying it. I watched Shelby Oaks, like Matt talked about last episode. Definitely not a Joe movie. No. Don't recommend it to Joey at all. I'm a found footage guy like Matt. Captain, are you a found footage?
I am.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, yeah. It's nothing against Joe. I mean, it just doesn't take to some people. I'm on the same boat as Matt. It was fine. It was fine. The film was directed by Chris Stuckman, this YouTuber that reviews films for like, I think like 10, 12 years. And I've been a follower of him. And we have like the same taste in movies. So I was like really rooting for him. And like he had this this GoFundMe, and all his followers gave him like a huge chunk of cash. And he actually finished a film, and that's when Mike Flanagan took notice of it, and he became involved. And Mike Flanagan did a little reworking with it, changed the ending. I think he brought less of the found footage into the film and more of like real base in what it is. And I'd like to see the first cut that Chris Stuckman directed, actually. I think maybe it would have been a little bit better.
Found footage?
Yeah, it was. I think it was just found. It was like in between, and like Mike Flanagan brought like a third element to it, and I don't think it worked with the film.
It was a little confusing.
It got confusing, and I think, you know, it's Mike Flanagan and Chris Stuckman's first film, and I don't think he fought too hard. He was like, oh my god, it's Mike Flanagan, because he's a huge fan of Mike Flanagan's film. So I think it was kind of. The film kind of hurt because of that.
Well, Flanagan came in and he was like, you know, Joe's not going to like this. We got to add some stuff that's not found footage in here. And then Joe might like that part of it.
And Chris Stuckman's like, Joe who? And Flanagan's going, from Sinister.
Well, they know who I am,
From Sinister. You know, Joe.
And you best can't cut the werewolf scene.
The werewolf scene? Take it out.
You can't cut the werewolf. It'd be great.
But it was fine. It was fine. You know, I know how passionate, you know, Chris was with this film and how much he loves movies on a whole. So I was really rooting for him. But, you know, I mean, he got the experience, and I hope he's allowed to direct another film or, you know, get funding for another film. Cause I think there is some talent there that he's got. There's some good shots. I mean, he's a big M. Night fan. And I saw some tweaks here and there that, you know, I said, oh, that's a little M. Night. That's a little M. Night. But, I like Chris Stuckman a lot. Also, I watched The Shining in IMAX. And, boy, oh, boy, if you haven't seen it in a movie theater, please see it in a movie theater because it's fucking gorgeous. Oh, my God. And, you know, besides paying like $73 for two tickets, a bucket of popcorn, that wasn't even like a large popcorn, it seemed, and two large Cokes. When you already own the Blu-ray and the DVD and, you know, the collection of Stanley Kubrick's and all that, and then you can watch it on streaming, and then you go to the movie theater and spend $73, I was a little like, ugh. It's still worth it. It's still worth it. And it was a lot of people. There were a lot of people in there, and it was dead silent. Nobody was like calling out lines. Like, people were locked in watching this film, because, you know, if everybody's paying that kind of a price to go in there, they're a big, you know, The Shining fan. And it was fun to watch. And I handed out a lot of cards, CineScare cards, and say, nice. Hey, check out the podcast. So yeah, I handed out a lot of cards. Still have a lot left to give out, Joe, but I'm ready for another refill. Whenever you want, I'll send you money. What else? Oh, last episode, Catherine's pick of Norwegian horror. Yep. I just wanted to touch really lightly on the films because I did a lot of research and I wasn't able to be on the show. I just wanted to just do a light touch. Troll Hunter, I gave it three cuts. Totally remind me of Monty Python on that bridge scene when he's all armored up.
Exactly. And
he gets like that. It was like a Monty Python scene. Yeah. I loved it. It was so funny. And then he lived. He's like, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Right? I thought he was dead.
I thought he was dead. He'd be like, bit the helmet, you know, and threw him down on the ground. It was so comedic and so funny.
That was pretty funny.
That was hysterical. Total Monty Python. Excuse me. Cold Prey, I gave it 2.5 cuts. It's not a bad film. Totally a 2000 film. I wish there were skiers instead of snowboarders because I hate snowboarders. Snowboarders fuck up the runs with their boards, but I'm out of school.
Joe is a big snowboarder. Better watch out. Joe is
really?
A big snowboarder. Yeah.
You're a snowboarder?
Loves snowboarding.
Oh. I mean, hey, I got family members that snowboard. I ski alongside them, you know, but.
I used to skateboard, and so I'm used to having my feet like together in that position. I've tried skiing. I just can't do it. I just feel so uncoordinated.
Yeah, I was like
snowboarding.
3 years old, and my parents put skis on me and never went back. I had a friend that tried snowboarding for the first time. Awesome skier. He did double diamonds, and he went down on a kid's run, Bunny Hill. On a snowboard, and he dislocated his shoulder. My God. The Innocents, 3 cuts. I loved how this film was shot. I thought the kids' actings really felt real, but I wish the powers were explained. I believe you guys talked about that on the episode, too. It was kind of hard. I think Joe said it when they're staring across the lake, it was at the lake that was doing. I don't think it was that. I just wish it was a little bit more explained, like just put a meteor like that fell in front of them or something and they touched it and they all got different powers, like the Fantastic Four or something. I just wanted a little. What? Matt's shaking his head. What?
It's the dumbest. I don't really care to know where they came from. I think it's kind of more cool to not know. And that would be the dumbest idea of all, to have a meteor and they all touch it and suddenly they have powers.
Is the meteor shit?
I think my question wasn't really so much how do they get it, but who's got it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Does every kid in the entire apartment complex have them or no?
No, I don't think they did.
They all seemed like when that final battle was going on in the playground, all the kids like kind of came out to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could all hear something going on or I don't know.
Like they felt something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But what else? That's about it. I had fun listening to the episode. I had fun listening to Joe absolutely dump on Troll Hunter, saying Jim Henson. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, they were cute. They're with the big Snuffleupagus. Yeah, I was laughing out loud with the Snuffleupagus comment. That was good, Joe. But that's what I watch. What about you, Matt? What'd you watch?
I watched Influencers, which is the sequel to Influencer from last year. And this was a lot of fun.
There's a sequel?
Yeah, there's a sequel. I had a great time. It's very campy. And I don't know. I was in the right mood for it. And I enjoyed it a lot. It's same girl. Cassandra Naud plays the girl. She's got the, birthmark on her face. And she's great in it, and she's got it starts out, she's got a girlfriend I think it's just a girlfriend, and they go to France for a vacation, I guess, and this Cassandra now her character is still, I think her name is Catherine in this, but she's still hunting influencers and killing them, but the girl who, remember, if you remember at the end of the first movie, the girl that she was trying to kill, that she was going to abandon on that island, did the about did a turnabout with her and and kept, you know, left her on the island, and the girl escaped. Well, that girl is now, you know, trying to find Catherine. And so it's a kind of a cat and mouse a little bit, but it's really, I thought it was a lot of fun. It's definitely campy. There's some gore a little bit, you know, but I thought it was, I liked it better than the first. So, or at least as much as the first. So definitely worth checking out, especially if you liked the first one. I think you'll like this one too. So,
and the girl with the birthmark is smoking hot.
she is very beautiful.
She's smoking hot.
But the you know, all the actors were good. All the influencers are good. They're annoying without being over the top influencers. They're very believable influencers, I guess you could say. And not like just caricature. You know, it'd be easy to make these influencers kind of like caricatures or whatever, and they're not. They're very typical. I mean, they are full of themselves, and there is that kind of narcissism there, but at the same time, it's not like played like a cartoon kind of thing. So I liked it. I thought it was good. I doubt it will make my top 10, but it'll hover in there with that 10 spot with a bunch of other movies. So who knows? It might work its way in there. I still have some thinking to do. And of course, yeah, we can talk about Welcome to Derry. I really enjoyed this season a lot. I thought that the ending, that last episode, was pretty exciting. I thought there was some good tension, some good, you know, while those kids are trying to get this thing, they have to take this like dagger and put it in the bottom of the base of this tree, which I don't think we'd ever heard about the tree up to this point, had we? I think it kind of just came up this episode, so it did seem a little thrown in there. But when they're trying to get that over to the tree, there's like a force trying to keep them away from it. And that whole part was pretty exciting, I thought. I really like the guy who plays Dick Halloran, and I liked the previous episode or the one before that with the bar that, or the officers club for African American,
the dark spot.
It's the black spot, something like that. It's for the African American, soldiers to have their own club. And that's actually an event that happened in the book. The bar burning down and Dick Halloran, you know, being there and everything, that was all part of the book. So, it was cool to, you know, to see how they wrapped Dick Halloran's character into, you know, the story. He's only kind of mentioned in the book. He's not really like a major part of it, but he's mentioned as kind of like the history of Derry.
I had no idea he was in the book. I didn't read the book, so.
Yeah.
So they didn't just throw him in there, huh? So he was actually in the book.
No, he's actually in there. So I mean, Stephen King does that a lot. He wraps characters up in different, you know, books and has a lot of crossover, especially in that main area. So it was, you know, I liked the way they did it. It was pretty cool, and I thought that the Dick Halloran character was handled pretty well, and I liked the, you know, his whole thing where he couldn't see, or where, like, you know that if he had the ghost, and that's from I think they mentioned that in Dr. Sleep, that you have this lockbox in your brain where you hide all your fears or whatever, and when it was opened, you know, then his deal is, I can't talk to these dead people that I see because they'll never leave me alone then. And so that was a pretty cool and kind of creepy thing too. Yeah. But overall, I thought it was a really good series, and I'm looking forward to see the next one is going to be 27 years before this one, right? It'll be in the whatever, 1930s. So that'll be, I'm looking forward to it. So, I guess, you know, Joe, what are your thoughts?
For those of you that haven't seen it, Cujo makes a cameo appearance in this one. I'm just kidding. He doesn't. I just want to see if anybody watch it.
I was like, wait, what?
I really enjoyed it. I like the post-credit scene that ties in this to.
Oh, I didn't see the post-credit scene. What happened?
It's back at the insane asylum.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
They show a character who's in It Chapter One.
Right.
I don't want to spoil it for you, Mark.
Oh, no, no, no. I saw a TikTok video of it. Okay, okay. Yeah. And, yeah. And she just passed away like 5 months after she filmed that. Yeah.
Wow.
The elderly lady, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. She did.
But
yeah,
I'm talking about away. The, what's the redhead girl's name from?
Oh, yeah. Part her one. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's.
Oh, she was in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
oh, shit.
The post-credit scene.
Damn.
So maybe go back and rewatch the last 10 minutes of that.
I will.
You'll be happy. So, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great series. I'm glad they're continuing it. I'm really interested to see them doing this 27 years earlier. They did a wonderful job of staying period specific in this one, which I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. And so this will be what, 1920s, late 20s?
20s or 30s? It's 27 years earlier, so I think it's late 30s.
Okay.
Because this is in the 50s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was like early 50s, but I could be wrong. Anyway, that time period, it's going to be post-Great Depression, but...
Right.
Yeah. It'll be good.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, sure is.
It's super expensive doing that.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy... I'm
Mark,
happy
you're
with
so
the
loud. Wait, Joe's super loud? Soft and Mark is so loud. Like why Joe, I can loud? Hardly hear you sometimes, but Mark is you're
how's
like
this?
Yelling.
How's this? Is this okay?
There we go.
I am literally 4 inches away from the microphone.
I know. Is it backwards or something? Because it like you're very so. Muffled.
Do I sound good now?
There you go. Yeah. Or maybe you were just yelling. I don't know, but you were.
He was just excited.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited about Derry because Derry is a huge hit, and that means they're gonna greenlight the Dark Tower series, and I want it. I want it.
I want it. So I want bad. It done right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if HBO is going to do it, they're gonna do it right. And it's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that series.
The Matthew
finally.
McConaughey movie was crap.
Oh God, I did go all the way through that film, and I was just like, this needs to be a series. It needs
does.
To be a series.
Well, it's yeah. what 7 books, 8 books.
Yeah. I mean, it could
that
be
is one I have not read.
Out loud.
Oh,
really
it's so
have
good.
Any intention on reading. Yeah.
It's oh, so
I started
good.
The Gunslinger.
It's so damn good.
I think I read The Gunslinger, and I don't think I got all the way through it. I was just
the
bored.
The Gunslinger's rough. It's hard to get
it's
through.
Rough.
But once you
the
get through that.
The drawing of the three. Oh,
it's so good.
Fuck.
And
it's
everything
so damn
he
good.
Writes, everything King writes connects back to this. So
yes. It's so damn good. I mean, I don't even want to spoil it. Never mind. Catherine knows what
all
I'm
right.
about.
It's so good. I love the ending. I love how it ends.
Yes.
Some people hate
some
it.
Some people don't.
And like, that's the only way you could end it. Yes,
he doesn't. Stephen King doesn't finish his books very well, you know. But
yeah,
I still liked it.
I like
it. Yeah.
Anyway,
hey,
all right.
I have something to say before we get onto our topic of conversation.
Okay.
Mark said something earlier about GoFundMe, which made me remember that we haven't congratulated. Vincent.
Yeah.
He did his Kickstarter for Ghost Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Achieved its goal. Their goal was $10,000 and they raised $12,679. So Ghost Chicken is a go.
Holy shit.
And Cinescare's I'm looking very there. Forward to, yeah, I'm looking very forward to getting my hardback copy of this. I can't wait. But I don't think it ships until like April or May.
Hmm. Yeah. I think it'll be. You know, it'll be a while. Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to take a second to say congratulations to Vincent because I think it's a great project. I'm looking forward to it.
Attaboy,
for sure.
Vincent.
Congratulations, Vinny, and Cinescare. You'll see Cinescare on that too. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to our pick of the week, which is Catherine's pick.
No,
it was Mark's pick.
What's going on with you, Matt?
Mark's pick. So, Mark, tell us what you did to us.
Where's the sound? Where's the?
I already did it twice.
No, you didn't.
We didn't.
I did.
Hear it at all.
We didn't hear it.
No.
Oh. Oh, you know what? It gets there. We go. There we go. Yeah. That sound right. tells us it's Mark's pick.
That's right. And my pick is Ho 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 Horror. Hey, Joe,
what did you watch recently?
Oh. Shut up, Brian.
Brian's here?
Brian?
What a story, Mark.
Hi, Brian. Miss you. Ho 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 Horror is the topic for this episode, and I picked three terrifying horror films that involve the Christmas holidays. But before we start, my little naughty elves, how about a little Christmas trivia question? Just one, and I'll sprinkle a little Christmas
the wrong ones then.
Trivia questions throughout the episode. All right, here's the first one. What deadly gift does Beth receive in Krampus? In five?
I literally just watched this movie.
You just watched it, Catherine.
Snow globe?
Five?
No. Snow globe?
Is it the Jack in the Box?
Yes! Ding, ding, ding. Oh my gosh, Catherine. Come on. You just watched it.
There we go. Perfect.
All right. Moving on. We're going to go into our first Ho 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 horror Christmas film. And I'm picking P2, 2007, directed by Frank Coffone in his directorial debut, co-written by Alexandra Aja, who directed the cult French extreme film High Tension, came up with the story inspired by a series of real life attacks on women that were replaced in Paris parking garages. Did I say replaced or reported? Reported in Paris parking garages. Starring Rachel Nichols and Wes Bentley, best known from American Beauty and Yellowstone. The plot is about a young, beautiful businesswoman who works downtown Manhattan, working a late Christmas Eve. She's one of the last ones to leave the building, where she becomes trapped in the building's parking lot. A socially awkward and sociopath-deranged security guard kidnaps and plays cat and mouse games with her while she tries to figure out a way to escape. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this might be the most times I've ever seen the title in the movie, of the movie in a movie. It must have been like 15 times or 20 times at P2. It's like, yes, I know what I'm watching right now. This film has like a diehard feel to it, not because it's in a high rise corporation building on Christmas Eve, but Joe knows this shot, probably Matt and Catherine too. The lobby shot from high up with the elevators on either sides, you know, it's like the same shot from Die Hard. And I was like, ooh, make it a kind of a Die Hard film. That'd be great. I wish the film expanded throughout the building, you know, where, you know, with the other floors like Die Hard instead of just a parking garage. But the wood kill that we see with the businessman tied up to the chair was so much fun, from the beating to the head with the flashlight to the ramming of the car. So great to see, even though, you know, how the hell could that guy still be alive with his intestines hanging out? Wes Bentley was fine as the maniac security guard Tom, but he was a little annoying as a killer. I think it had to do with like the weak dialogue and writing. And god damn it, I picked a movie with a fingernail that came off. And if there's one thing about me, it's fingernails and peepholes. It drives me insane. And I hate when fingernails just come off. And what was the deal with that fingernail, and why did it come off so easily? She's got some weak nails, man. That was bad. Now I know there's a parts of this film that, you know, I had no idea about, like this happened with the dog death. Okay, when the dog death happened, I was like, they're gonna fucking kill me, like, because they hate animal abuse. And I was like, oh, they're going to kill me for this. I had no idea it was in there. It was really graphic, really brutal. A lot of blood. So I apologize if I made you guys go through that. I had no idea. I had no clue. None whatsoever. So let's start off with Catherine. Captain, what did you think? Did you like the dog kill?
I mean, no. Although I thought that was less graphic than the, or less horrific, I guess, than the cat kill in the Innocence from the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. That's yeah, you know, definitely probably the least favorite part of this movie, but I forgive you, Mark. It's okay. I mean, I've seen this before. It was fun to revisit it again. I like the idea of this one. It's an enjoyable enough movie. It does feel a little long in places. There were a few times I was like, God, how is it still going? But on the whole, I enjoy this one. You mentioned Wes Bentley, and all I could think of when I was watching this is I had read that he was like coked out of his mind during filming, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can see that in places.
Oh, was he coked out?
Right. He was on drugs the whole time.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I was like, okay, that explains
some of
this. That
was the whole reason he took the job.
Right?
Oh, my God.
That's what I read.
That explains the acting.
Right? One thing that drove me nuts is how she gets locked in here. I mean, it's a business. You need to be able to have a way for people that are inside to get out, even if the doors are locked. I feel like that's kind of standard, you know, emergency procedure there. So I'm not quite sure how that, but, you know, suspension of disbelief. It's a horror movie. You mentioned the fingernails. That. And then the eye. There's a thing with a thing in the eye that's also, yeah, just gross. But yeah, this one's fun. I enjoy the cat and mouse approach of this movie. And I will say I love the end credit scene, or that not the scene, but the photographs that they have going through the
what
credits at the end.
What's the deal with that? Just like Christmas cards
just,
or something?
Just to try to make it look like a romantic comedy or something.
Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
it was so out of box.
Right, God. Came out of left field, but it was like, wait, that's.
I like
that. It was
see
kind of
the dog's okay,
you know. Right? See, he was just acting. You know, he was just unconscious. It's fine. But no, this one's a fun one. It was fun to revisit it again. Nice kind of a holiday movie that you don't necessarily think about when you're looking for horror Christmas movies.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was okay. Not great. I think you kind of touched on it. I have a feeling Joe's going to like this one more than the rest of us, though, because he's into single location movies. Maybe not, but Wes Bentley, he was born to play a creep, but I don't think he's born to play outright crazy. Like when he gets big, he kind of it loses something. He's not a big kind of guy, and I think that kind of big energy is not easy for him. He's much better when he's just kind of leering or plays it low key. And I think they really wanted him to go nuts, and it wasn't as believable when he did. There were a lot of tropes too that just kind of are overdone. Like, of course, she sticks her hands through the gate to try and get cell phone coverage, and she of course drops the phone, you know. That kind of thing was like very predictable. At one point she's on an elevator and he starts pouring, somehow getting water down into the elevator, and it's like filling up. But I don't think elevators are probably airtight. Like, I don't think that it could hold the water, but what do I know?
No,
I've
no
never
way.
Tried, I guess, but
they can hold blood like in The Shining.
I guess so, yeah. Well, it
came
pouring out.
Ghost blood.
It came pouring out.
Yeah.
She is a terrible driver, too. When she does get in the car, it seemed like she was running into everything that she could possibly run into.
That's
because
it was a Pontiac Sunfire.
Was that what it was? Oh, God.
It was a Pontiac Sunfire.
Oh, that's funny. We had one of those when I was a kid. But, like, old. Let's see. I said single location movies. It's kind of hard to like. They're great when they're done well. Like, you know, obviously Die Hard was great, and you've got you know, you have more locations within the single location that makes it work. And I think your, you know, your comment was on right on, Mark, about that. Like, it would have been nice for them to go to other parts of the building or something. I think she does briefly, but not really. And so it would have been nice to have a little bit of variety rather than just the same thing. It just kind of kept in the same area, you know, and every, you know, one thing about a parking garage is every part of the parking garage looks the same. That's why they have those signs that say where you are, because you don't know, they all look the same. So it's, I don't know. And he messed up that Sweet Monte Carlo too. Boy, I don't believe that anyone who owns that Monte Carlo would be willing to smash a dude with it or run into a car with it. That doesn't make sense. And then I did say, if he comes back for a final jump scare at the end when she's going out, I am going to throw something at the television. Fortunately, that did not happen. So,
when I was watching that, I looked over to my girlfriend Shannon. And it's going, if he pops up, and she's going, how is he going to pop up? He's burnt to death, and he's handcuffed to the car. I said, if he's burnt to death and he's missing a hand, I swear to God.
Yeah,
I'm going to lose it.
I know. I was expecting that. And it seemed like they were setting that up. And then it just sort of ended, you know. But it was just okay. I mean, I think I give it 2.5 cuts. It kind of not great, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Joey, there were smart cops in this film. What did you think?
What I'm most puzzled about is that Matt and I have known each other for 34 years. And we've done 134 episodes of the show, and he thinks I would have liked this.
No, I said there was a possibility because it is single location, and you're into that thing.
When it's done well, I am. This I didn't think was done well. And I think, well, Mark, your comments about—
because I actually thought you and Mark might both like it, but Mark gave his review ahead. The reason is because I thought it was about the same quality as that one with the shooter that you guys liked a couple of years
ago. No way.
Like 24 hours.
Yeah, that one. I thought it was about the same quality. So I thought, well, maybe they'll like this one.
Mm. Well, but that one didn't have the wet blanket that I call West Bank, Bentley.
That's Bentley, yeah.
He's just fucking terrible.
Yes,
he is milk. My note here is he is so milquetoast of a killer. Like, first off, can someone clear something up for me? What was his motivation? Sure. Why was he going after her?
He
did
lonely.
I miss that?
He was lonely.
He didn't want to be alone on Christmas.
He didn't want to be alone for Christmas. Yeah. And he's been stalking her for a while.
Stalking her. Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. My first note was I hate this movie because there was no reason to hurt that dog.
100%.
And I share Matt's sentiment. One of my third notes is she acts like she's never driven a car before.
Right.
I don't understand how you could drive that bad.
Yeah.
You know, just concentrate, put your hands at 10 and 2. It's a parking garage with no cars in it.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you hitting the walls?
I know. It seems so stupid.
Yeah. But, Mark, to your point where you had said that you see the title P2 like 15, 20 times.
Yeah.
The other benefit of that is that when I nod off and I fall asleep and I wake back up, I'm reminded what the name of the movie is, which happened frequently.
You were falling asleep on this one?
This was a couple of times, I will admit. I was in a good mood when I watched it too, but I just must have been sleepy. I think
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, he was just so random with picking her. That kind of took me out of it. I was bothered by it. And he's so unbelievable as a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really phoning it in. And
Rachel psychopath, Nichols.
Yeah. Rachel Nichols, I thought, did fine in this. Yeah. I hadn't seen her in anything else, but I didn't have a single problem with her other than not being able to drive. But
I thought she was
just
good.
He's just so uninteresting of a villain in this that I found it very hard to get into. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's a thumbs down for me.
Yeah, I had a note that I skipped over, I guess. Yeah, you're not doing your main character any favors when you have them kill a dog in a brutal way, especially one that's not like, you know, it didn't need to happen, you know, and it,
but
so
why
it's
did
like,
he let? Why did he let the dog go in the first place if he doesn't want to hurt her?
Right.
A Rottweiler. It was a Rottweiler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Rottweiler's, you know, chasing, and he sees that she's got a crowbar. Like, what were you expecting? Like, she wasn't going to, like, hurt the dog, you know, when the dog's, like, coming through the car? Like, I mean, I kind of see, like, why she was, like, killing the dog because she didn't want to die. I mean, dog bit her and all that. I mean, I guess she was defending herself. I mean, I guess that's the reason because the dog, I mean, if you saw the bite gash on her leg, it was pretty serious. So, I mean, I understand.
There's other more creative
there's other ways,
ways to dispose of a dog in a script
right.
than
yeah.
killing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just bleh.
All right.
So there's one down. What's next, Mark?
You okay, Mark? Mark's just sitting there.
This you know, is, this your, is your episode, Mark.
Yeah, this is
I yours. Know. What? Well, yeah, let's go. Let's go back to Christmas trivia. And, so question number two. In the night before Christmas, what does the Jack Skellington mistakenly call Santa Claus?
Sandy Claus?
Correct, Catherine. Catherine, two to nothing with Joe and Matt. Alrighty. So the next one. Okay. I fucked up. Okay, guys.
Did you watch the wrong movie?
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
Look.
I'm gonna eat some more of my cookie.
It said horror. Okay, it said horror on the IMDb.
Oh.
It also said thriller.
He got IMDb right.
Yeah.
Impressed. Wow.
That book is helping, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It also said thriller. I also watched the trailer, and then they made the trailer look like the movie looked like a horror movie. I mean, the trailer had a kid ready to electrocute a little girl. Santa Claus was missing an eye. Santa Claus was getting stabbed. My God, I thought I hit the jackpot, and I found a horror movie with Mel Gibson and one of my new favorite actors, Walton Goggins. So I thought I was good to go. It was also a holiday Christmas comedy, so Joe's going to love me for this, and then Matt's going to pat me on the head and saying, great job, Mark. You didn't just grab a dumb, cheap horror movie like Attaboy. The Ginger Dead Man. You picked a gem. And I thought Catherine was going to say, Mark tried so hard, and look what he did. It's a masterpiece. This is what I thought.
What a story, Mark.
I know, and this is what I thought when I picked the film. So anyways, Fat Man 2020, starring Mel Gibson and Walter Goggins, directed by the Nelms brothers. This film is about a gritty, jaded, pissed off Santa Claus who is having problems with production and meeting some quotas for Christmas gifts because kids are basically assholes now. Especially this one asshole kid who receives a lump of coal and decides to hire a hitman, played by Walton Goggins, who also has a vendetta against our not-so-jolly Saint Nick. Horrific events ensue, with blood and mayhem, stabbings, a lost eye, threats of a young girl with electrocution, Miss Claus getting shot in the back, assassination to a manager at a post office for no reason, a poor mailman executed for a uniform, blood-soaked snow, elves running for their lives. Joe, take it away. Review the scariest film we have ever reviewed on CineScare, please.
Well, when I saw the logo for Saban Films at the beginning, I knew we were off to a rocky start.
Shit. Fuck.
I will give this one bit of credit. So Santa gets shot by Walton Goggins.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was going to be killed, but apparently just lost an eye. I was waiting the minute Santa got shot. I was waiting for him to come back to life because of Christmas spirit. And they didn't go that route. And that made me happy. Because that would have just been dumber than anything I had watched in the past 93 minutes. So
that would be the only way for that to be dumber. For anything to be dumber. Yeah.
Shit.
At first, I didn't realize he was supposed to be Santa. Mm-hmm. Even when he's driving down the road with a bottle of milk like balanced on his dashboard in his big old pickup truck. Walton Goggins certainly does play a good hitman. He's got the look down and everything. He's got the black turtleneck, the black everything, you know. He's not bad. I never understood either, too, about the him trying to collect all these pieces of or these toys, these gifts that people would have gotten throughout the years that all have a little metal plate on them that say, like, made in Santa's workshop. I never knew that was a thing, but apparently it was. The kid who's Billy Weenan, played by Chance Hirschfeld,
mm-hmm.
terrible. Just terrible. I hate that kid.
Just his character?
I guess just his character. I'm like to the point where I don't know who the hell came up with this movie. So the kid is supposed to win the science fair every year. He doesn't win the science fair. So he hires Walton Goggins to capture the girl who won and gonna electrocute her with jumper cables in a bathtub if she doesn't give back the award. That in itself, like, I would almost rather see this movie have nothing to do with Santa Claus. Just this despicable kid trying to make his way through school. That probably would have been more interesting. It's just, and then the kid gets pissed off and hires an assassin to go hunt down and kill Santa Claus. And he's just that accessible. You know, he's just north of some little town. It's just
North Peak.
The military's involved. It's like, what am I? Like the military's going to buy out his contract and help him make his quota. I don't know how this movie got made.
Like, what's the contract? What does it make sense?
Well, he needs money.
Some sort of military contraption for something for planes or something.
The world or government's like funding Santa Claus, you know, all these years. And now that there's not enough kids, Matt, stupid. There's not enough kids to make toys for. And so, you know, he needs to the quota. So he's got to make some military shit. And he was really upset about it. I mean, that was some good acting Mel Gibson was doing when he was up on that platform talking to the elves. I mean, Mel Gibson, I mean, that's some fine acting right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's such a hypocrite, though, too. I mean, like, he goes into that bar, and there's that guy flirting with the bartender girl.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, talks him out of it, makes the guy go home, and, you know, just, I don't know.
Well, yeah, he's making him a good
Santa's
boy.
That's what Santa's using his powers for, is to prevent them from...
It's not really powers. He's just, you know, he's giving them good advice. That's Santa Claus. Like all these, even if they're grown adults, they're still his kids.
This is a Christmas movie with more gunplay than, you know, most Rambo movies.
I could understand if it was just a horror movie, but it's not.
Yeah, I there's zero horror element in this.
No, there's
none. I'm sorry.
There's like zero Christmas element in this too.
What do you mean?
It's like, this is Santa Claus. I never see him being Santa Claus. I see him some guy named Chris who's not even fat and jolly, and I never see him give presents to anybody.
Well, he wasn't Where's happy the about there was reindeer in there.
There were reindeer, yeah.
Oh.
And he was wearing like a red leather, you know, coat. Yeah. And he didn't like, you know, everyone's interpretation of him being fat. He's like, look at this.
Else, Mark? I don't want to see Santa getting on with his wife.
No, I don't
I like Mrs.
If
Claus.
That's his wife, Mrs. Claus. No, is that Mrs. her Claus name? Because according to IMDb, it's Ruth. That's her name, Ruth.
Ruth Claw.
Yeah, they didn't do the
Kringle. Ruth Kringle.
She Ruth makes Kringle. Really good cookies.
Apparently, Christmas so. Cookies. Never see her bake any, but yeah.
Okay.
I was confused from start to finish.
And I'm sorry for that, Joey. Films.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steven. Catherine.
All right.
How about a little levity? How about a little love?
Well, I wish we had watched Violent Night instead. But
I wish we had watched a lot of things instead.
I mean, man.
It wasn't like nobody said anything about whether this was horror or not. Mark just always has to argue about it. And then we watch it and we find out, oh, just like Matt and Joe said.
There's less gunplay in Sisu.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, let's see. I mean,
Billy Bob
one
Thornton
of my notes
was
here.
A warmer Santa Claus.
Right, right. Oh, man. One of my first notes here. Stupid Mel Gibson is actually really good in this.
Yes, thank you.
Like, I thought he made a really good curmudgeonly Santa Claus. And I thought he did a good job for what this movie is. I enjoyed the moment where the skinny man is at the postmaster, trying to get, I think this was when he's trying to get Santa's address. And he has the gun to his head and, the guy's trying to fumble for the pen and he can't quite reach it. And, there were some funny moments in there. And why does Walton Goggins have a hamster? Why is that his pet?
Never established.
Of all the things he could have. And then he gets the little wheel and puts it on his dashboard.
It was cute.
It was cute, but so random. And nothing comes of it. It doesn't go anywhere.
Was random.
And then, Santa somehow has super strength at times. So is he a superhero? Is he just magic? I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. It was, I don't know. It was fine. I'd rather watch Violent Night.
Yeah. Thanks, Catherine. Matthew.
This was, as soon as it got going, I was like, fucking Mark. We told you it's not horror. It was the only place
you didn't tell me it wasn't horror.
We did. The only place that it was even listed as horror was 10 descriptions down on Google. IMDb doesn't have it as horror. Letterboxd doesn't have it as horror. No, it doesn't. The only place I could find is when I Googled it.
No.
Maybe it was IMDb. One, two, one
three,
of the
four,
other.
Five, six, seven, eighth tag down.
Okay. So then it was Google that didn't have it. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have it as horror. Letterboxd doesn't have it. It's so not horror. I don't know how IMDb does unless somebody tagged it and user generated or something, or Mark did. I gotta make this horror.
I'm gonna make this horror. Yeah, that's on my to-do list, man. This is what I want to do. I want to do this where I just get scolded on an episode because I didn't pick a horror movie. Okay, not my intention, you bastard.
I love how Santa drops an Alka-Seltzer tablet into a shot of Jack Daniels.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's so.
Yeah, that was great.
And the whole disenchantment of Santa trope is I'm so tired of it. Just this angry guy, curmudgeon. I just fucking hate that. It's so overdone now, even though, I don't know. And the pacing was off this whole thing. It just seemed like nobody was really in a rush to make this movie. They were just like, hey, are we going to shoot a scene today? And then the editing, everything was just off. Everything was just a little off. Who am I rooting for? I didn't like anybody. Walton Goggins seemed like he clocked this movie about 20 minutes into shooting and was like, fuck it. And he was just phoning it in the rest of the time. He looks good. He looks like it, but he's, that guy's so awesome. He shouldn't be. Like, they should have had fucking Wes Bentley play that part.
Oh, God.
Still waiting for the
horror. For the Army.
Yeah.
Well, what about the
army that came in? I guess so, yeah.
The army was so nice to him.
The elves are little assholes in this, too. I know.
Yeah. Why are they assholes?
I don't know why. You ask them. The kid is just a terrible character that makes no sense. We just saw that Norwegian movie last week when we were talking about how American movies do not know how to portray kids or write kids. They're always little adults. This guy is a total little adult. He's a little crime boss who's like 11. Right.
Fuck. Yeah.
Have you ever seen been around a kid before? Whoever wrote this.
Yeah, they all have giant desks in their closed off rooms that, you know, their desk probably costs $50,000.
Exactly. Because
they're stealing checks from grandmother, knows how to forge them. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So and to acting like some power business kid. Oh, Jesus. And it's so serious when it should be more darkly comedic. I think the part of the problem with Mel Gibson's character and the kid and Walton Goggins is that there's no humor here. It should be a dark comedy, and there should be something a little more outlandish going on here. Instead, it's almost, it can't decide whether it wants to be a dark comedy or if it wants to take everything completely seriously. So it doesn't really do anything. It's just, oh, and here's another scene, and there's nothing that draws you in. And then at the end, it's a Western, it's not a horror. It's a Western setup. It's not a horror movie. This was one of the worst picks of the year.
I think it would have been better if every 10 minutes, whichever actor was on screen, looks deadpan into the camera and winks. That would have made it better.
Yeah.
I agree. I think if the writing would really tighten up like considerably and like put a scene in like where Santa Claus and the assassin, were just sitting across the table, drinking a glass of milk and had really punchy dialogue and talking back and forth, that would have been it would have helped the script a lot, and make it more, if the writing was better. I think it was a good idea. It's just it wasn't executed correctly.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm going to disagree with that. It wasn't a good idea.
It's a bad idea.
I mean, the premise is some rich kid who gets everything that he wants gets a lump of coal. So he hires an assassin to go kill Santa Claus. Yeah. I don't know that that's a good idea.
Well, it wasn't a good idea.
I mean, you just saying it, I kind of think, wow, I kind of like that idea. But it's just if you're going to do that, it has to be a dark comedy. It can't be something serious because we can't take this kid seriously as a crime boss.
Lethal Weapon 5.
Right. And how do
I did love how go ahead.
How does he know how to get a hold of Walton Goggins? Like, how does he know how to get a hold of an actual assassin at his age? You know,
he's resourceful.
Google.
So that's
a great explanation.
They had a scene in the mess hall where all of the elves are going through their cafeteria and eating food, and it's all nothing but sugar products.
Right.
Yeah.
Like pies, and you're scooping sugar onto it. And I liked how the military had an issue with that. Like, maybe you guys wouldn't look so peaked and maybe be of average height if you quit eating this crap.
That was funny.
That was kind of funny.
It had a few moments.
And why would you put, what's her name, Marianne Jean-Baptiste, why would she be cast in this role as Mrs. Claus? She's done so many thousands of other things. Like, this just seemed like a real low for her.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, I could see it. Walton Goggins, I'm even questioning why was he.
Yeah, why did you want to do this? Well, he probably thought, well, it's not a bad idea. It's a kind of a cool character, but then he got there and it's like
Mel Gibson's
shit,
in it. Mel Gibson's signed on.
Yeah, I get to work with Mel Gibson. Yeah.
Maybe.
Even though he only had basically two scenes with him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All
right.
Not good.
So moving on. Moving on to a little Christmas trivia. In Black Christmas, which sorority does Jess belong to? You just watched this.
I did, but I didn't pay attention to the sorority. Chi Sigma Sigma. I don't.
Whoa. Did you pick movies that Catherine's watched recently?
No, this is, no, I swear to you, this is all random. You're close, Catherine. It's Kappa Sigma. It's called.
That was going to
shake your head like that.
I didn't get a chance to answer, I guess.
Oh, awesome. Oh, well, here's another one.
Okay.
What Terrifier film takes place during Christmas?
Terrifier 2.
2.
3. 3. Terrifier 3.
You're both wrong. It's Terrifier 3, but you said Terrifier 2 first. So Catherine was allowed to say Terrifier 3. So point to Catherine.
I didn't even say anything.
So next one.
She's so good at trivia.
She is.
I don't even have to try.
Yeah.
So next one is 2020's Hosts. Okay. Last film for the Ho-Ho-Ho Horror. Host is directed by Adam Leder and Richard Oakes. A family invite their neighbors over to Christmas dinner when all hell breaks loose and nothing is explained at the end. Well, luckily, after Fat Man, this was the goriest out of all three and most shocking. The cheapest out of the bunch. I believe it was made with a low budget. That's what I heard in some reviews. I tried to do some research on this film and couldn't find... I couldn't even find this on Wikipedia. It's a possession flick, and you get a little of the backstory of the characters. But once the film has its first kill, basically, it's off to the races, or more of a race with cars not able to start their engines, and some cars roaring off and at a fast pace, but ultimately crashing into the wall. And with that, I mean the pacing is all over the place. Horrific kills. And long monologues and bad dialogue that I was leaning in saying, get on with it. The dinner scene, hammer scene, was absolutely fantastic in my opinion. I loved it. It's my favorite kill of the year. It was vicious, bloody, and hysterical at the same time because the reactions of the family watching their mother and or wife being hammered to a pulp at the dinner table, just screaming, not moving, not getting up, or running out the room, or just they're just getting showered in blood. Like the director was just sit there and watch and scream. And maybe an actor raised their hand and said, can I stand up and scream? Nope, just sit and scream. And maybe another actor said, can I run to the corner and look away and scream? Nope, just sit and scream. It's a little ridiculous how the reactions went, but still a great kill. I like some really great shots, like the blood trail in the hallway, and I was a fan of the glowing eyes. But nothing was really explained at the end. And besides this was happening all over the place, or all over the country, or the world. And I kind of wish we followed another family experiencing this phenomenon with a better storyline. I don't know if it was just the writing or. I just felt like the dialogue and the monologues before everything, it just felt a little cheap. But out of all of these, I enjoyed this one the most. So we're going to move to Matthew and have him start.
I pretty much agree with almost pretty much everything you said there. I don't know if this was my favorite of the three. Maybe. I don't know. I think I gave them all the same 2.5 stars, but this one definitely
even
took a Batman? Turn.
I
might have given that less than 2.5, but anyway, this one definitely took a turn at that one moment. And that was a beautifully set up scene. And it really, I mean, it was mean-spirited, it was gory, it was brutal. There's a, you know, for the audience, there's a setup that this couple, we start out with this couple at Christmas, and they see, they're talking and giving gifts or whatever, and they look out their window, and they see there's a couple of lights that come trailing by, and so they go out to investigate, and it's basically these demons that possess people. So they get possessed, and then they go to their Christmas dinner with their family, and And so at the Christmas dinner, there is a very brutal act that comes out of nowhere. And it was beautifully set up. It was tense. And then that very shocking scene happens. And then there's a lot of tension after that for a while. But it kind of peters out from there. I thought that, again, I agree with you, Mark. I thought the pacing of this was just so slow. And I just felt like you had this moment set up that gave us something like I thought that was going to drive forward, and we were going to have a maybe a funny games kind of situation or something, but they did nothing with it, and which then made that scene just feel unearned, you know, and mm-hmm. and kind of just a missed opportunity. And there were just a lot of things that didn't make sense, like if you don't want to hear anything about this movie and you really plan to see it, then maybe skip ahead 15 minutes or something, because it's kind of hard to talk about this without talking about that scene. So is everybody on board with spoiling that scene?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause it's not, it is something that sets up the whole movie, and it's something that happens, yeah. what, 20 minutes in or whatever. On. So it's a setup for the movie. In. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an Alfred Hitchcock moment, like the bomb underneath the chair.
So the mom, the family's sitting around talking, and this couple comes in that is now possessed, and the people don't realize it. They act like the couple is acting weird, but they're just sitting there angrily, and I guess these demons come out, and they just mean to wreak havoc on the world and torture and kill people. So in the middle of this Christmas dinner, the mom basically gives this heartfelt speech that she has cancer and everything. I felt bad for you, Mark, is, you know, it's terrible with, you know, everything, but
I know I didn't know, like, oh, like, and I had to watch it afterwards, and it's like, and she just survived cancer just like my mom passed away very recently, yeah, and so like I'm watching this and I'm just like, oh, my mom just beat cancer too, like, oh. And then whammo.
Yeah. And so the woman of the couple has a hammer, and she just smashes this woman's head in. And I mean, it is brutal. It's gory. Brutal. And I'm like, oh, it's that kind of party, huh? And so I'm thinking, oh, we're in for a ride here. And then nothing comes of it. And the family doesn't do anything. Like, what are they? It's not like these two are these powerful. I don't even know. They don't know, for one thing, if these people do have superpowers, but it doesn't seem like they do. And they wouldn't know anyway. Like, why? There's a man, there's a woman, there's a kid, there's a dad who's pretty burly. Like, why mm-hmm. didn't they just tackle these two and be like, what the, you know, whatever.
What the fuck are you doing?
Nothing. They just kind of act like they don't react. It's so bizarre. And it's not like the reaction is fear-based. It just is nothing, kind of. It's odd, very odd.
Yes.
And then the, you know, in the last act, there's like a chase out in the woods, and it's just it's so slow. Like, it's not exciting. She stops at one moment, and then another person from who knows where comes up with glowing eyes, and he comes over, and they just stare at each other for a while before she takes off. It's so bizarre. Let's see. And then when she, at one point, a character comes in with a gun while somebody else is being stabbed. Takes forever to shoot that gun.
Stabbed.
Like, she's standing there watching the stabbing going on before she shoots. Yeah, and so I wrote this note. I'm pretty sure the filmmakers had an idea for setting up that one scene, the dining room scene. Mm-hmm. I think they had that idea. They had a setup for it, but then they couldn't figure out what to do next. Like, they didn't, you know, like, they didn't know how to take it into a different territory or to build on it. And so that scene, it was so, I mean, and that one scene was so well crafted. It was set up really well, you know.
Oh, the dragging of the body. Yeah. From the table?
Yeah, all of that. It was
great.
Then I really was expecting, you know, I was like, she goes into the boy's bedroom and she's got those pliers, and I thought, oh shit, what are we about to see? Because this seems like a movie that's gonna do whatever that it wants to. And nothing. She pulls out her own tooth, I guess. You know, that's it. Like, she didn't do
anything. And hands it to him. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And then and so it just that one scene then is kind of diminished because nothing else happened afterwards. And so I just thought it was a missed opportunity and kind of disappointing.
Huge missed opportunity.
Yeah.
It's the best kill I've seen all year.
I don't know. I guess it might be my favorite of. That's kind of a weird thing to say when I didn't really care for any of them. But maybe, I don't know. P2 had the stupid dog scene, so I don't know. I guess this is my favorite of the three.
Joey.
So this is an instance where I kind of wish I knew more about these. I don't think they're demons. I thought they were aliens. But like the conversion process, like how do you turn somebody into what you are?
They're demons because they explained it. They're like, they were like angels and God cast them out with Lucifer. I think it was the whole Lucifer and his clan thing. And so I got the idea that like there was some kind of mining going on and they were released through that hole in the ground. And
okay,
is that what it was? Like that
I completely missed that.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. But let's say you're right. What is their goal? To convert everybody or to kill everybody?
The guy says the woman says, I think she says to the kid that they want to destroy God's favorite creation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so their goal is to kill everybody.
Right, and torture them and like just destroy, like mess up Earth.
Not convert them.
No, it's totally to, they are converting.
Take the dad and kneel him down in front of the TV to convert him.
No, it's not conversion. They're having like another demon come and they're all demon possessed. So they're having another demon possess
through the TV.
Yeah. Okay, so they tried to have a demon come and possess the dad through the television set.
Yeah.
And that failed because they cut the power too soon.
Right.
Okay. So why not just continue the process? Don't give up. But they do give up. They try to shoot him, and eventually they stab the daylights out. And they must have stabbed that dad about 600 times.
Yeah.
But I would think every one of those human beings would be vessels for more demons to come through.
Yeah.
So why would you kill any of them? Why would you have them try to kill each other? That's where I wish I knew more about what their purpose was. I also, I did like the effect of, when you are to become a demon or possessed with it, the light coming out of the mouth and then your eyes are like a different color. The light coming out of the mouth was so bright. There was one thing that I thought I would have enjoyed more at the end of this to make it more ominous. You remember the movie, The Invitation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. At the end of it, you pull back into the small town and you can see everybody's got those little red lanterns.
Yeah.
Hung throughout the town. Something with, all these little lights starting to pop up throughout the village, that I thought would have made a more ominous.
They did. They did have the lights flying around all over the place.
Yeah.
The camera panned back. So it did remind me of that movie a lot because it was basically the same story, except they just didn't do shit with it.
Except in this one at the very beginning, the couple that are alone in their own home, the amount of public displays of affection they have towards each other at the very beginning was so extremely over the top. Like they just couldn't stop pawing at each other the entire time. And the girlfriend was so giddy and happy to see her boyfriend. Like it never ended until she got possessed. And I was happy then because I was hoping somebody would have shot her or stabbed her or something to just have her come down a little bit. But then we're introduced to this family that they eventually go to visit. And the family is just so sweet as pie. I got a cavity watching this. They were just so over the top, happy family. I couldn't stand it. So when that 32-minute mark came and the mom got brutally murdered with a hammer, I was finally thinking, great. And it's only 32 minutes in. We're going to have another 60 minutes of nothing but this. I can't wait. And I agree with Matt. That's where it stopped. It fell for it.
Yeah.
It just deflated.
Yeah.
And even the, I don't understand the whole sister being forced to shoot her brother, and they hand her a gun with no bullets in it. And they kept showing those that painting of, was it Abraham?
It's Abraham, yeah. And Isaac.
Sacrificing,
yeah.
Isaac.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I'm like,
I don't know that I see that.
And where was that? It was in their house.
Yeah.
And the last time they showed it, because that's what I was thinking, like, where was that at? Because the last time they showed it, the power had already been, like, the girl had already knocked the power out of the house. And then,
yeah.
And then a few minutes later, they show that picture and there's, like, lamps.
A light on it. Like, yeah. A light over it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the couple, the demon couple, for lack of a better term, when they got invited to dinner, sitting at the dinner table, although the guy gets up and leaves, but there's no way a bigger deal wouldn't have been made over the way that they were behaving.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, everybody else is eating. They're not touching their food at all. They're just staring deadpan forward and looking angry. Yeah, and I agree. Why is this family not doing a thing to defend themselves? The male demon sits back at the table with a shotgun, sitting right next to their oldest son.
Yeah.
And the gun's pointed away from him. He doesn't try to, like, take the gun from him or anything.
His mother's literally heads bashed in at the table, and you're not going to grab a gun?
I guess there's an argument for saying that they were all in shock. They were too in shock to do anything about it.
But it didn't seem like it.
Yeah, you would think their adrenaline would have done something in their favor.
But it was. They were just screaming like, "Oh my god! Oh my god!" They're getting sprayed with blood, and they're going and it's screaming. They kept on just showing
and just watching her do it,
and just watching her doing it. It's like
Thought after like the second or third blow, somebody would have gone up and tried to take that hammer away from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But Catherine. Yeah. Oh, Joe, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Poor souls, what I've done to you.
This was a long pick.
Catherine. Catherine, so, hi.
Yeah, I'll kind of just echo what everyone said. I felt this film was definitely kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. When it first started, I was like, oh, it's an invasion of the Body Snatchers movie. And it was to an extent. And at first, I wasn't sure where it was going. And I was like, all right, what's going on? Like, yeah, like everyone has said, the dinner scene, you know, I love that dark humor of the mom giving this heartfelt speech. You think she's going to say her cancer has returned and she's going to die. And she's like, oh, actually I'm in remission. And then the contrast with getting her head bashed in. I was so happy they went there. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It just kind of goes all over the place after that. It's got some good body horror, you know, lots of blood and gore. It felt like it was trying to say something, you know, with the picture of Abraham and Isaac. I was like, oh, they're trying. I wasn't sure though what they were trying to get at. They also did a lot of shots at the very ornate wallpaper that this house had. I was like, is there something in there? Is it some sort of symbol of something? I don't know. They just felt like they kept showcasing the wallpaper. So all these little symbol things, but I didn't quite see what they were trying to get at, or never quite added up to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been really good. I liked it. It was a good idea. I liked where it was going, and it just never quite went anywhere after that monumental dinner scene. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the reason why we're talking so long about this is because we got really excited with this kill, and we're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah,
and
that was
it just deflated. It was like it blew its load and the film went limp.
Yeah. It's like I think Matt said, you know, they kind of had this great idea for this one scene, built their movie around it, but it.
Yeah, they forgot
maybe if
to
it, maybe
do
if it was
else.
A short film or something, if it was a 10-minute movie or something, that would have been awesome.
Right.
Yeah, should have been given a shot of Viagra.
All right.
So, that's it.
That's right? it. Let's give him a round of applause for that pick. Oh, wait, what? Oh, shit. Oh. Sorry about that. Or maybe a smattering of applause.
He tries hard.
He tries so trombone. Hard.
He tried, he tried so hard.
He did Thanks, try Captain. So hard. I think you could throw a dart at any 10 horror movies and
Jesus Christ.
Let's see.
Man. At least
just
they'd be 10
just watch
horror
Black
movies.
Christmas again.
They would Joe.
What did Joe say?
Hold on.
Say it again. I dare you.
I said, I think you could throw a dart at any 10 horror movies. And Joe said,
and I said, at least they'd be 10 horror movies.
Son of a bitch.
Oh God. All right. Well, next time
watch there Fat is... Man again before it leaves Netflix.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Next time we are going to be doing our top 10 list for the year 2025. So, this is always our a really fun episode, and where
Super
we get
fun.
To
for us,
for yeah. us, I think for everybody else too, where we pick our each of our 10 favorite horror movies. I think there's probably going to be a lot of overlap this year, but who knows? We never know. And my list always changes, you know, quite a bit between now and the show, because there's usually several movies vying. This year there's really not. There's only like, I don't know, a handful that are kind of vying for my 10 spot. The rest, the other nine, I think are pretty locked in. And we've also agreed that horror television could make its way in.
So I
kind of struggle with that myself, but
in regards to that, we're talking about the show as a whole, not specific episodes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, in the meantime, catch up on some stuff. I know, you know, there's some things that maybe not everyone in here has seen. I still highly recommend everybody watch Best Wishes to All. It's on Shudder. That one is a really good, and it's definitely vying in my top 10. Also check out The Dead Thing. I just watched Influencers. That's definitely worth checking out. If you haven't seen Frankenstein, certainly. But in terms of movies we haven't talked about much on here, Jibby and Stigs, I don't know if everybody's going to like that. That one, I don't even think it'll be in my top 10, but it was a crazy bonkers movie, that's for sure. I don't think you'll like it, Mark. You know, obviously The Final Destination. So, you know, look through everything. There's even a few, I think, that have come out on for rental that I still haven't caught up with yet. Like that new Oz Perkins movie, I think, is out for rent now. And I haven't checked that one out yet. Yeah. I saw it on Amazon this weekend. I can't remember the name of it now, though.
Is it The Keepers?
The Keepers. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So that's available for rent now. So that's definitely one I want to check out.
I saw The Keepers. Oh, I saw you? The Keepers.
Yeah. Did you talk about it on here?
I don't think I did.
Okay. Did you like it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not at all.
Yeah, Jimmy didn't care for it either, but I wanted to check it out.
Check it out.
Jimmy has a thing about Oz Perkins. He doesn't like his movies. So, and I did like Long Legs quite a bit. So
Long Legs was great.
Obviously the obvious ones like Weapons and Good Boy and Sinners and all those people have probably already seen, but if you haven't, check them out. And we will gather together in 2 weeks and you'll see what we think were the 10 best movies of the year. Any movies you guys have seen that you don't think the rest of us have seen that you want to remind us about?
No, I'm behind. So,
There is another one I want to see that Joe did talk about a long time ago. It was the Ugly Stepsister one. Is it?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's
that was fun.
Yeah, I want to check that one out.
Yeah. That's on
Shudder.
Oh, Shudder.
Yeah. So best
I saw the trailer for that.
What? Go ahead.
You can rent. It's just called Keeper.
Keep okay.
You can rent that for $14.99, or of course you can buy it for $5 more.
Yeah. So
I
that,
still
that's
think
worth.
Bone Lake is worth a watch.
Oh yeah,
and I still
that
think
one.
Him is worth a watch.
Okay, Bone Lake, him.
don't run to the theater to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I will not.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about Bone Lake. I've seen that one on there too. And what was the other? Oh, Him. That's right.
Him.
Yeah. And of course, Best Wishes to All, also on Shudder. And The Dead Thing, I think, is on Shudder. So, all right. Mark, you saw The Dead Thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for this time. So we will see you next time.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. What?
And Joe Jan's had a birthday.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Right. So that's right. He had a birthday.
One, two,
since
three.
The last Happy birthday to you. Mark, you should do the Marilyn Monroe version.
To you. Happy birthday, Mr. Joe Jans. Happy birthday to you.
Very nice. Very nice. That became a solo.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Aroused? Are you aroused, Joe? Are you aroused?
Not in the least.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
It tells you how to say words. So, yeah.